back in what jail is like. How you doing?
I'm okay. We like money.
Yeah.
Money's a thing that makes the world go around. It's all for the Benjamins, I think a wise sage once said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true when you think about it. There really is nothing more important, more valuable, more influential in the world than money. And, you know, nothing should be a higher priority to you or anyone at any time in their life than money. And the, you know...
That's absolutely true. I mean, you go out to Pluto, you find somebody freezing out there, they're not going to be looking for anything but...
Go over to Mercury, somebody's burning in a pool of flame, saying, you know, you really should be thinking about money right now and not your own melting flesh.
Gotcha.
And so we got to do things to get the money. The dollar bills, y'all. And so what we do is we whore ourselves out to big companies who need some advertising work done.
Mm-hmm.
They call us up because they know we have these massive, throbbing, creative brains that can come out with, you know, copy and ads and ideas and ad campaigns for their faltering products.
Have you ever heard the sound of a massive throbbing brain at work?
It's not pretty, but boy, does it turn out some funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of gross and squishy.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of wet.
I can argue with it.
And it can be interpreted as a lot of gross different things. But you really can't argue with the quality of the content that comes out. So the companies say to us, please, please, please save our company because we're going to go under if we don't have an injection of truth and beauty and sincerity and comedy in our advertising campaign. Our product is just not selling. It's not going off the shelves. It's staying right there. It's not moving off the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, okay, but only for $5 million per person, per product, per idea.
Yeah,
and that's a base price. Sometimes a thing, you know, requires more thought, more work, and a lot of, ironically enough, a lot of the cost of our ideas bankrupts the company that we're trying to help.
Mm-hmm. Let's face it, we're good people. We could hold out for more.
We could, but we really can't survive on less than $5 million per idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I was saying, the companies go bankrupt, but they have this idea. They have the right to this idea. So, if they scrape together some funds, they're welcome to use it. And a lot of times, it's companies have bounced back to make at least $500,000, $1 million.
And the sound of a company that bounces back to make $500,000 or $1 million?
It's not pretty, but boys sound gross.
Yeah, it does.
Kind of just the crunch of bone and the ruffle of Sears suits.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you put a beat behind it, though.
You got some funky stuff there.
Yeah.
So we're always swamped, if you will, with companies that we need to, you know, jam out ideas. And usually we have Eric as part of our crew, and he helps us kind of flesh these ideas out and kind of come up with the ideas that and kind of work them into ad jingles or maybe some copy or some ideas that we can get back to the company.
But just because Eric's gone doesn't mean that the march of dimes... That's not the right word. The march of money, march of quarters, doesn't keep marching on.
It doesn't. Big wheel keep on turning, I think a wise sage once said.
That's true.
And, you know, well, to go with that, the Proud Mary keeps on burning.
Boining.
Boining. And, old man water, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know a thing or two about him.
You know? Looking out my back door,
mm-hmm.
I think a wise sage once said, "A do do do."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the rebel yell, she wants more, more, more. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing right there, but definitely said by a wise sage.
Back in the saddle again.
Or kind of synonymous with that, baby got back.
Yes, that's true. We have a lot of wise sages in this world.
A lot of wise sages. We're lucky. We're fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, at one point there was kind of a you know, a dearth
scarcity,
of wise sages.
Right?
Yeah, but now we've got a surplus. So if you find a wise sage, they are unnecessary.
And, don't be impressed by it.
Yeah, they're throwing off the ecosystem. So whatever you can do to thin out the herd,
it's kind of like starlings.
Yes.
Feel free to poison any wise sage you might come across.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll regret it in 100 years, but for now, let's get them off our lawns.
Seriously. Because people may argue, oh, there's always room for more wisdom in our world. That's a load of crap.
Mm-hmm.
There's not. You know, we have limited storage space for all this wisdom. And, you know, frankly, with me and Mark on the scene, we've shotgunned most of it. So.
Right.
Anyway, to get us back on track, we like to share that kind of wisdom with these companies.
Yeah. And pass the savings or the benefit on to you.
On to you. Literally, pass it right on to you. We take the load off Fanny.
Mm-hmm.
A wise sage once said.
That's true. Yeah, poison that wise sage just...
That's a shame. I kind of like
yeah, well, that wise sage. They're not the ecosystem.
That is. It's true. Yeah. They're eating our resources.
Yeah. You ever hear the sound of resources being eaten?
It's not pretty.
Yeah.
And boys are really disgusting.
No, that's true.
So on the first product we have, Anheuser-Busch called us up and said, guys, you know, alcohol, beer, you know, and stuff like that has been our livelihood for just decades and decades now. But the kids, you know, who are some of our biggest demographic, and I'm talking 14 and under, is what Anheuser-Busch said to us. Mm-hmm. They said, they're just not happy with the beer anymore.
Can you, let's just cut back to phone call, actually, where we picked up Anheuser-Busch calling up. Hello, this is what Jalen's like.
Yeah, this is Anheuser-Busch.
Which one? Is it Anheuser or Busch?
No, we're brothers.
What are you on?
But we got remarried, so we kind of got the hype on.
So you're on speakerphone then? Is it, or it's just one of you?
No, we speak completely in unison at all times, so our voice sound is one.
Okay, so you're on, but you're not going to, you know, diverge at any one point. It's
no,
like
never.
I'm talking to one person.
You're talking to one person, you might as well be.
I said, okay.
It will never diverge.
Okay, cool. Let's get down to business then. Cut back.
And so they said to us, you know, it's not cutting it anymore. The kids are kind of jaded by the beer, and they want a new drug, a wise sage once said. They want a new drug, somebody said, circa 1984.
Yes. Wise sage who was really depleting our Earth's resources. Should have been stopped.
I really liked Huey Lewis, too.
Yeah, well, you know, we got an ecosystem we got to maintain.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And so we said, we can help you out. We can work it out. Mm-hmm. We can work it out, some wise sages once said.
Yeah. Half of those wise sages are gone.
Half of them.
Yeah, it's a real shame.
Sorry, I was taking a moment.
Yeah, well.
They were particularly wise sages.
Yeah, they were.
And we can find new ways for you to poison our youth. That's what I said to Anheuser-Busch.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, great. In unison.
Creepy.
Because that's how they operate. It was a little creepy. I was getting a little creeped out. At points, I didn't believe that they were two people. But there were points where they were creating this really, really fascinating harmony in their voices.
Mm-hmm.
One incapable by one person, so I knew they were legit. And he said, give us some time. We'll work out a way, a product that you can easily make well within your budget that'll you can market alongside your beer, and you can appeal to the 14 and under demographic.
And I mean, we realized we had a huge challenge ahead of us because, yeah, the average 14 or under, unless they live in Germany, does not have open access to alcohol.
No.
They're not trained from birth to become to drink alcohol unless they live in Germany.
Mm-hmm. So what we did is we said, well, let's seize on this. Let's make the new drug something that they have access to very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And let's make it really addictive so they'll need to get more of it. So, you know, we turn to all their household chemicals.
Yes.
We have Drano, there's bleach and detergent.
Mm-hmm. Dish soap, can you help us?
Rubbing alcohol, you got alcohol in the title, can you lend us a hand, kind of thing. Well, all those things seemed very doable, but it seemed like they already had a kind of a negative stigma to them. The kids were already, especially the older 14-year-olds, they were already trained not to go drinking bleach.
Mm-hmm.
Not to go, snorting detergent.
Right.
Not to go rubbing themselves in bleach or Drano, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, we needed something to continue to pose that whole, you know, that whole extreme, that whole, you know, fast-paced lifestyle that beer sort of suggested. We needed something to maintain that for the 14-ounce set. I had this formula worked out for liquid Q-tips that was going to be really good. You know, you drink it, it's like you're, you know, cleaning out your ear with a Q-tip. Mm-hmm. But we just didn't think that was edgy enough.
It wasn't edgy enough. It was getting their ears really clean,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't seem to be the kind of target goal of that demographic.
It's not edgy to have clean ears. It's good. It's a good idea.
It's a good idea, but it's fairly routine.
Yeah.
Common, some might say.
Yeah, unless you live in Germany. In which case, it's not all that common.
They're monsters over there.
No.
So we did sniffing markers.
Mm-hmm.
That was more. That was. I mean, we actually sniffed markers.
But it's hard for. It's going to be hard for Anheuser-Busch to corner that market, you know. Because I mean, markers, you can get those on any street corner,
yeah,
anywhere.
Yeah, and what's to say that their markers will be better?
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, after we had sniffed markers ourselves for about 4 hours, in hopes that an idea would come to us, we passed. Well, blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
For 3.5 days.
I thought I saw a giant cat.
Yeah. So 3.5 days, we woke up. We ate like a savage wild men.
Yes. It's like a 14 egg omelet.
Yeah, because we hadn't eaten in 3.5 days.
We had a lot of eggs. They're about to spoil.
And then you couldn't remember your own name for 12 hours.
No, I couldn't.
I kept trying to convince you that it was Jorge.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't believe it.
And I had this cardboard sign hanging around my chest saying Jorge, that I was just kind of going with Jorge by default in case I forgot Jorge.
Right. I mean, which is funny because, you know, your name's obviously Mark.
Yeah.
But since...
Yeah. Then I checked my wallet and found out it was Mark.
Yeah, and then you still didn't believe it because you thought it was a big government conspiracy.
Yeah, well, you had really sold me on Jorge. I mean, I was kind of down on you at first.
Well,
you
wasn't really joking. I was sold myself, man.
I know you were.
I was already in the bag, paper, plastic.
Yeah, I was trying to convince you you had arms, you know, that those weren't just eels hanging off.
I thought you were full of crap right there, man.
Well, you know,
I was convinced they were eels.
It's a little bit of a difficult proposition to put forth. I didn't know how to break it to you exactly.
I guess that's what happens when you slaughter mass amounts of brain cells.
I know, man. That 14 egg omelet sure put a few back, though.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was good. It had cheese in it.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good omelet.
Yeah.
It was a little tricky fitting it in the pan, though, you know.
Oh, you know.
Because they don't really make pans that are conducive to omelets that big.
No, they didn't. So we turned the world into our pan.
We did.
Yeah.
Pretty resourceful for a couple of guys with 1,000 brain cells missing.
Yeah, well, some of the brain cells were coming back.
Yeah. Anyway, so we said, what to do, what to do. Where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
A wise sage once said, and where do we turn?
Looking up to the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for answers from the great beyond.
That's right. whew.
Yeah.
You know, it. What never ceases to amaze me is the fact that all these brain cells missing, we still have such vast storage space for pop culture.
Well, you know, there's this, you know, there's this compartment set aside that you know, it's got this,
it's like
shield.
Vaulted, right?
Yeah, and that's the last to go. I mean, if you're being burned to death on mercury, you know, like the last thing that goes, it's gonna.
It's Michael Stipe's, right. You know, crooning visage,
right?
So. We thought long and hard on this one.
Yeah.
Anheuser-Busch. Because after we came up with some ideas, threw them down on the paper, we're like, hello, there's the whole moral implications that we're not even considering yet. You know, mm-hmm. We've always considered ourselves pretty morally bankrupt. But this seemed like a pretty heavy venture, even for, you know, the $10 million price tag that it had on it.
Yeah.
We're going to be potentially harming lots and lots and lots of children. The future... of our country, because we believe the children are our future.
Oh, we do.
A couple dozen wise sages once said.
Right.
Again,
simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, every time we'd try to come up with an idea, you know, the visions would flash in our heads about just the terrible consequences of it. You know, there's Anheuser-Busch electric sockets, which, you know, have a space fit for your tongue to go into. And get horribly shocked, you know. We're thinking about that, but then, you know, we thought about this entire generation of kids who'd been repeatedly electric shocked, and we just didn't know if we could go ahead with it.
Yeah. But we said, you know, money, 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 you know, as...
quoting.
Some soulful wise sages once said. Is the root of all evil, but, you know, evil schmeeble, we went ahead and did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we jammed it out, and we came up with something that was really going to free us of all the whole moral burden, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because we decided we're going to go a route that makes the kids hurt each other. Instead of us hurting them, we'll simply just place the materials out, you know, and if they happen to pick them up and it becomes really popular to start hurting each other with them.
Like, ooh, we never intended to be role models.
Ooh,
you know,
we have the total right to make these products, okay? What we came up with, we're going to make it totally the trend to have these kids wearing to school and everywhere they go rubber suits studded with razor-sharp shurikens.
Not bad.
Then, okay, we can't just stop there.
No.
Because it's possible.
We had the flow.
That all these kids will be wearing them because that's, you know, what that demographic does is they kind of travel in herds and mm-hmm. they do with each other what everybody else is doing. So we got everybody wearing these suits. But, you know, if these are a couple band geeks or math nerds, you know, and they're passive by nature, then there still isn't really the potential for danger there. We need to get them nice and mean. We need to get them angry.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was, and this required a little bit of a budget, but we hired every cool kid from every school across the country.
Yeah, there's listings. It's kind of a who's who sort of thing.
That you mm-hmm. can get sent out a mass email. Got them all for a small stipend apiece to make it the cool thing to do to beat each other up.
Mm.
And mime as close as possible the kind of violence that you would see in a post-apocalyptic world, such as Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. So kind of make that the popular thing to do, then these kids wearing these razor-sharp shuriken suits will be fighting each other, and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed results. Guaranteed injured kids. And the beauty of this idea is that these kids are going to get injured, and they're going to heal, but slowly, day by day, their constitution is going to be weakening until they kick off.
Yes.
So we've got extra weeks of them buying these products, supporting these products.
The suit's going to be unraveling. They're going to need upgrades.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. Anheuser-Busch was like, I don't know. You know, can we make the jump from beer to razor-sharp shurikens? I said, yes.
Yes, Anheuser. Yes, Busch.
We found a way that you could recycle the cans you're getting, and a portion of the cans that you recycle, just compact them into razor-sharp shurikens.
But more than the compacting and the recycling, you just got to believe in yourselves, Anheuser-Busch.
You have to say, Anheuser-Busch, let's grab ourselves by our nuts, throw them on the table, and staple them down to the desk pad. See what happens. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just believe in ourselves for one time. Can we do that? Let's get this idea off the ground. These kids will do... Do you understand? You know?
And, we helped him come up with an ad.
We did.
We had a brilliant blazing idea.
It took a couple hours of me and you convincing Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, because we'd have to. Yeah, we were taking them aside and convincing them individually.
But
and
they got really uncomfortable being apart.
Yeah, it was really uncomfortable.
It was really uncomfortable.
Just squirming,
kept crying and hiding.
They didn't like the sound of their voices when separated from each other. Just trying to, you know, create the link in the popular consciousness between beer and this new product. We had them just go through a magical mystery tour. We had them roll up for a sudden magical mystery tour of beer commercials throughout the years. And just kind of reoriented them in the rubber shuriken suit style. So the first little clip that we titled was a familiar Budweiser campaign that went a little something like this. What's that?
You are defeated.
Okay, and then we took another one, mm-hmm. another popular Budweiser campaign, and tried to update that one, and it kind of came out like this.
Sure.
We
can. Sure.
We can. And we had a couple... Mm-hmm. of lizards and frogs doing that in a swamp, you see.
Yeah.
That was kind of a rough one that we had doing.
Then we borrowed a campaign from another one of Budweiser's competitors, and we tried it a little something like this. Oh, I'm just camping out here in the woods, and oh, look, that's the Swedish bikini team. Except they're not... clothed in revealing skimpy outfits. They're clothed in rubber suits with shurikens. Hello, Swedish bikini team. What? So, very interesting, very erotic playing on the sexual
it
side.
It was. And not only that, but it was really pushing the limits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for TV, kind of just opening it up a lot. the graphic displays that it was allowing, you know?
Yes.
So we really didn't spare any expense on the gore.
No.
And we really killed a lot of people in the making of that commercial.
Sex and alcohol, sex and violence, sex and rubber shoots with suits with shurikens.
Right. And so, I mean, I really like those commercials, you know? They were really real.
Yeah.
It's like cinema verite or something.
Kind of was.
It's pushing the envelope, if you know what I mean.
I think I do know what you mean.
And that's really what I thought Anheuser-Busch needed at the time. They really need to take that envelope and push it. Push it real good.
Yes.
That's something Y Sages once said.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard that one once.
So I bought it.
Cool.
Checks in the mail. Bam, done. Write that one off as another whopping success to add to our portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Well, the product I was working on came along similar lines, and since we're running kind of late, I'll try to keep this presentation brief. But it was, again, another attempt to establish continuity between childhood purchasing and adult purchasing, in this case going the other direction, where certain things that kids have, they're very excited to have when they're kids, but as they grow older, they become jaded teenagers and then adults, they lose the thrill, they lose the excitement of it, and...
Yes!
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll just have to hurry this bit up.
It's so hard to be cynical.
It really is.
With ice cream treats.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard, but not impossible.
Right, yeah. I could sniff a mark and get myself back in. until I can get out the ice cream treats. Right. Products that kids, have and they love when they're kids and then they become adults and it's just not the same for them anymore. And one of those things is the time-honored thing, the chemistry set. Lots of kids have the chemistry set. You pour the chemicals together, see what happens. It's a very exciting thing. But as you're an adult, you just want to see naked women. You just want to, ram your head into things.
Yeah.
And kind of the allure of the chemistry set is replaced with, bestial acts.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to do was for these chemistry set companies was to create that link so that chemistry sets could become a vital part of any adult's day-to-day life.
Kind of making the jump.
Right.
Convince
them that they got to go out there and keep buying.
Right.
So,
they got to make that crucial jump because by tying those two demographics together, there is a whole world of revenue to be made. So,
right.
The company was like, how do we make them jump? Jump, jump, everybody jump.
Mm-hmm.
As a couple of
And we said, hey, company, you've met some wise sages, haven't you? And
mm-hmm.
We said, yes. And we said, if you can give us the names and addresses of those wise sages, we're organizing a program by which wise sages are tracked down because they pose a threat to our ecosystem and are systematically eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And we went ahead and took care of that, which is why that band only had one hit.
Yeah.
Wasn't for lack of talent. The chemistry set to become vital to adult lives, and basically, it was very simple for us. We just pointed in the right direction of you got to make the chemistry set vital to them. You've got to change some of the chemicals, change the formulas that you suggest so that they're useful to the adult audiences. And a couple of the ideas we came up with, one, for example, was milk. Adults, they know they have to have milk around because they've had it for all their lives. It's useful for some things. You make your macaroni and cheese. But sometimes, if you live alone, you don't get all the way through the entire gallon of milk.
Mm-mm.
You get, maybe two-thirds of the way through, then the milk's rotten. You have to go buy more milk, but you've still got it sitting there. And, if a chemistry set could, you just squirt a couple dots in, it stops smelling, and you forget about the fact that it's spoiled, that's something you could roll with.
It is useful. Here it has practical purposes for the young adult,
mm-hmm.
for the old, and really any age, because... I mean, this is something that could befall any person of any age.
Mm-hmm. Another idea is a very useful little dropper that produces a chemical reaction between the drop and underneath your couch and causes all miscellaneous debris underneath a certain weight to be sucked up underneath the couch, causing your apartment to appear much cleaner than it actually is.
Or if you're a parent, you have small children, and you have misplaced your children, you make a chemistry set that can allow you to create new children.
Mm-hmm.
That way you'll have children, even though you've lost your original ones.
I hope it's going to take off for them. I think it's got a chance.
I think so.
Alright, let's move off to a song right now, because we got to be doing that. But let me remind you, I like to do this every week, that WEFT is broadcasting on the internet through web radio. You can locate our webpage at www.prairienet.org/weft. And you can tune in all over the world, so that's a good idea if you're moving out of the area, or you're in a place that doesn't get good broadcast reception, or you've got 8 radios and you've all got them tuned in simultaneously to what Yale's like, but you'd like another audio source. You're all good at...
Well,
you
hear about
being run over by a truck,
right? I think so.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but during this break, I'm going to indulge in Hella Creamy Lovin'.
Yes, Hella Creamy Lovin'. And 359-933, it's a phone number if you got anything to say. Stay tuned for PSAs.